We're talking about God's character and what God is like, but his attributes. And today I'm going to talk about two at the same time, and it's quite on purpose. I'm going to talk about that God is just and merciful. That he is just and merciful. It says in Jeremiah 9:23-24. This is what the Lord says. Let not the wise man boast of his wisdom, or the strong man boast of his strength, or the rich man boast of his riches. But let him who boasts boast about this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on the earth. For in these I delight, declares the Lord. Here God says through the prophet Jeremiah that what we should boast in a lot of things in this world. What you own, what status you have, what education you have, and so on. But what God says is worth boasting in is knowing him. That we really know what God is like. Fits very well into our topic about getting to know God. And when God chooses, when he says that we'll know him, he chooses to mention a few sides of who he is. He doesn't even mention 10 or 20%, but he says two things about himself. That I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness. You can think that what did he want to mention about himself? So there's a few different words to choose between. It's not love. It's not creator. It's not almighty. It's not all-knowing. He says that I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. Then it's worth thinking about that. Why does God mention these words? Why does he mention these sides about himself? So we're going to talk today about that God is 100% just and 100% merciful. Which here where it says kindness, it says mercy in Swedish. So how can somebody be completely just in every situation, in everything he does, and at the same time, completely 100% merciful in everything he does? And we also have a little bit of confusion here because in Swedish, mercy and grace are used interchangeably. And you mention them together a lot. But biblically, mercy and grace are two different things. I'm going to try to figure this out today. What is it that God wants to say through these two sides that he wants to mention? Justice and righteousness, those are kind of the same thing. When he says grace, justice, and righteousness, he does what is right. So we'll put up some definitions of these words. So we start with justice. Justice means giving somebody what they deserve. It can be maybe treating somebody justly, or a just wage. It can also be a just punishment. So God justly gives to all people. Then we have mercy. And in Swedish, this always means to have compassion or show goodness to somebody. But biblically, mercy means not giving somebody what they deserve. Do not give somebody what they deserve. And here it's talking specifically about a punishment. That you deserve a punishment. Justice says that you deserve a punishment, but I won't give it to you. That's mercy. And thirdly, grace. To give somebody what they haven't deserved. Are you confused now? grace is that you haven't deserved this, but I give it to you anyway. We often talk about the grace, that you get forgiveness without deserving it. You get love without deserving it. You get God's righteousness without having deserved it. When we receive more than we have deserved, God gives grace upon grace. But today we will talk especially about justice and mercy. So if the definition is that how can God give somebody what they deserve and at the same time not give somebody what they deserve? How can he be 100% just and 100% merciful at the same time? The first I want to talk about for a moment is this 100%. So my first point is that God is 100%. I will explain what I mean. Attributes are things that God are, not just things that he does or things that he has. It's who he is. If he just had these things, he could run out. Maybe one day he used up all his attribute, but it's not what he has, it's what he is. It's an overflow of what he is. So if God is mercy, for example, then he is 100% merciful all the time. And if God is just, he is 100% just all the time. Maybe somebody thinks, I think maybe we all are tempted to think about this in different ways. But it's still good that God is a little bit more merciful than he is just. Maybe you have thought this or something like that. It's good that God is a little bit more merciful than just. If you think that God's grace and mercy win over his justice, that his mercy and grace are so great that it overshadows or drowns out the justice for a moment, and then we get mercy. But if you take the definition, justice is giving what somebody deserves, and mercy not giving somebody what they deserve. So how can you see this, get the both of these? So maybe you think that God is 49% justice and 51% mercy. So he's 100% justice and 100% mercy. He is always just in everything he does. He is always merciful. If you take any other of God's attributes, it's not that he's 99% knowledge and wisdom about everything that happens. Because he's all-knowing, he has 100% knowledge. He knows everything in the whole universe. Anna talked about this a few Sundays ago. God is not 97% powerful. It's not that God can do most things, but then in some situations, he can't work. No, God is 100% powerful. He's 100% mighty to do everything he wants to do, everything he decides to do. In the same way, when we read God's word, we read about mercy and truth. It says in John 1, verse 14 and 17, that the word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Verse 17, for the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. He is full of grace and mercy. So God is 100% grace, the same time as he is 100% truth. Sometimes maybe we think that God's different attributes or the sides of him are a little bit like in conflict with each other, and we hope that grace wins. Or we have this wrongful idea that many people have thought that many Christians live with, that in the Old Testament God was quite strict and he was just judge and he was harsh, but in the New Testament love and grace came and then God somehow changed or decided that I'll try something new and now we'll go with grace and see what happens. But this is not true. God doesn't change. He does not change ever. What God is He is from the beginning, from eternity. He's 100% merciful, just, truth, forever. Maybe sometimes we think that, yeah, but God is merciful, but his justice demands, the law demands, that he still has to punish. But nobody demands anything of God, because God is God. No force outside himself can put demands on what he should do. He's the one who created the law. He decided how everything should work. God is not God if somebody could demand something from him. If God is anything, he is it 100% all the time. When it comes to grace, we maybe think, I don't know if you have thought this, but I had definitely thought this thousands of times. God gave me more grace in that time, or God gave me more grace in that moment when I was tried, or when I had sinned, I got even more grace. Have you ever thought this? Like this. I have many times. And I have had to think through and like check up on my own thinking, because God is 100% grace all the time. God has given his grace from the beginning of time. He is always grace. Maybe you have been there too, struggling with sin, struggling with the things going wrong. And what really happens then is not that you get more grace, but you have, in Jesus Christ, received all grace that you could ever get. It has already happened. It is there. When you meet Christ, he is 100% grace. What happens in that moment, when you think that I received more grace in that moment, or when I had sinned, you didn't get more grace. But in that moment of weakness or sin, during this difficulty, we understood in a new way and in a deeper way how much we need God's grace. We understand in that moment how much we depend on grace. We open up for more of that 100% grace that is available for every person. When we are strong, when things are going well, we forget that God is so graceful as he is. And we feel like we can do things well on our own. We feel strong. So we don't appreciate that God is 100% the things he is. It could be about other things, his strength or his knowledge. It's these things all the time. But it's only when I come to a point where like I am at the cliff and I feel like I have no more choices, then I open up and I realize how much I need this grace in that moment. So we open ourselves up. And it feels like you get more grace. You receive the grace that you maybe didn't understand you needed so much. All the grace that you ever needed in your whole life, you have already received in Jesus Christ. It is decided and it has been sent out through the cross, and it is available. If it would be like that the grace becomes more when you sin, then what would you do? That you could somehow multiply grace by falling into sin more often, or you could multiply grace by falling into temptation more often, then you could live a very reckless life. But grace cannot be multiplied. It is there already. And it can handle everything in your life. Because God is 100% every day, every moment. And you need just as much grace today as you did the day that you got saved and believed in Jesus Christ. Do you believe this? We need the grace, God's grace, as much today as we did the day that we first received it. We can't live without it. And it would be a waste of God's grace to not receive it when it is there for everything in our lives. So God is 100% The second point is that God is 100% merciful. God is 100% merciful all the time because He is mercy. It says in Psalm 136, verse 1 to 3, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love, or grace, or mercy, endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. His love, or grace, endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His love, grace, endures forever. If you would continue reading Psalm 136, maybe you have noticed. You can scroll a little bit in on your phone if it's open. That every single verse in Psalm 136 ends with the same phrase, that His grace endures forever. His love, it's as in some translations, or grace, endures forever. It endures forever. It comes again and again. And I want to explain about this word that here is translated grace. It's in Hebrew chesed. Sometimes I remember very little of whatever Hebrew I ever learned, but I have Bible programs that tell me all these things. So that's my humility today. Don't think that I'm good at Hebrew. But sometimes I want to mention these words because Hebrew or Greek can be so much more rich, especially Hebrew. It's a very different language than Swedish. And so you can say so much with one word. When I saw this word during my theology studies, I was very amazed. It became my favorite word in Hebrew because of what it means. It says so much about what God is like. You can't say it in just one word, but if you would say it in a few words, then this same word, hesed, means about God. It means love, grace, mercy, faithful love, loving goodness. So it's like saying all these things, all these attributes about God that are reaching out with love towards us to do to us the best thing He could ever do. When I read the beginning of Psalm 23, and if you read at the end of Psalm 23, it ends with, in verse 6, with, surely goodness and love, or grace, will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So here it says in Hebrew, goodness and chesed. Surely goodness and grace. So sometimes in English it's translated a little bit better. It might say loving kindness. His goodness, His love, His faithfulness will follow you all the days of your life. And if you open up Psalm 136 again, what it says here at the end of every single verse in Psalm 136 is that His chesed remains forever. His love, you could translate it. I tried doing this. God's merciful, graceful, faithful love will endure forever. Of course, one word can't mean all of these things in every context, but you could translate it like that because this is what God is like. God's merciful, graceful, faithful love endures forever. And it's repeated in every single verse. You could also say just mercy. But let's take grace, as it says in Swedish, is grace endures forever. Could I ask you all to say this out loud on a count of three? See, because His grace endures forever. Look at you. You just memorized half a chapter in the Bible. Just like that. Half of the chapter of 26 verses you have just memorized. That's great. It's good to memorize the Bible verses sometimes so you have them in your heart. Because His grace endures forever. It's a very well-known psalm in Israel. Why is this verse, this psalm so well-known? Because this was how they knew God to be. Ever since He took them out of Egypt, He saved them. Even though they were a very rebellious people that never could do what God really wanted, He still saved them again and again. And what you think, you think this is written by David, but you don't know for sure, but what they wanted to say is that His grace endures forever. At many points in the Bible, you see that it's this psalm that they're singing. In the Old Testament, when the temple of Solomon was dedicated, this big, huge, original temple, when it was dedicated and God, the glory of God comes and fills the temple, and God's presence and glory is so thick that you couldn't go in to the temple, because God's presence was there. The psalm that they then sing when this is happening is this psalm. Because He is good, because His grace endures forever, they sing. It's this psalm that they sing when God's glory comes. And later, it says in 2 Chronicles 5:13, we won't read all of it, but later in the same book, you can read about it in 2 Chronicles 20. They are surrounded by enemies on every side. And then God gets this idea that we won't put the warriors first. Let's not put the mighty warriors first, but let's put the worshippers in the front. They can go first out into the battle. Wonder what the worship team thought about that. Aaron playing the guitar in both hands. He can't even hold a knife. And the song that they then were singing as they were going first before God's warriors. What they're singing is that God's goodness endures forever. It almost looks funny, but what they're singing as they're going into war, it's that God's grace endures forever. This psalm is what they're singing. Why is this so important? Why are they stuck on this? Wherever the people of Israel focus their heart, that God is good and His mercy and His faithful love endures forever, God's glory comes. And God breaks through in their lives. He saves them. He is a savior. He comes close. God is so merciful. Do you know why they sing that God's grace endures forever? Because God's grace endures forever. They want to make a point. They want to focus their hearts on what is the biggest thing they had experienced about who God is. His grace endures forever. I could just to say this again and again for the rest of the sermon, and that wouldn't be wrong, because it's what the Bible does, saying it again and again. If you sometimes think it's not fun when we sing a worship song many times, you can think about this psalm, that something happens in our hearts when we focus our mind and our mouth and our eyes and our thoughts on what God is like. Worshiping, it's not just telling a story. It's focusing our hearts on God, on what He's like, and something happens in our hearts. So God is 100% merciful and graceful. He is 100% true. So, and then point number three, God is 100% just in everything He does. So what we said in the beginning was that justice is giving somebody what he deserves, and mercy is not giving somebody what they deserve. So the word just means that somebody is acting in accordance with the right and just. So somebody's actions, a person's actions is in correlation with what is right, that is being just. And this is from the dictionary, that being just could mean that somebody's heart or life is being defined by justice. The Bible says many times that God is just. He is justice. It says in Psalm 89, verse 14, righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Love and faithfulness go before you. Here is again this word, chesed. Love, grace, and faithful. Love, grace, mercy. And again, God's righteousness is connected with this, that it says that righteousness and justice are the foundation of God's throne. It's the foundation of what God's being operates from. So in a world that is not just, I think every one of us, ever since we were small, we have felt that somebody got more candy than we did, or somebody treated us wrong in school, or somebody did one thing or another thing against us. Somebody got something that they shouldn't have gotten, and I didn't get what I deserved. But the God that I have had the grace to get to know, He is just 100% always in everything He does. God can't act against His nature. This world is imperfect. We'll always meet injustice here. But God is just, and He will give us the right things in the end. And that's connected again and again with God's mercy. In Deuteronomy 32 and 4, it says, He is the rock, His works are perfect, and all His ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong, upright and just is He. This is wonderful. God is 100% just. This way all His actions are perfect. God cannot do something only halfway. If you think that I was good but not 100%, it's not because of who God is, but it's because of what this world is like. We live in a already but not yet kind of world. We have already met God's love and His grace, but we are not yet in His perfect kingdom. And in this world, two different kingdoms reign, the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. And Jesus says that now the powers of darkness reign, because when He dies on the cross, it has already happened. God has already done things, but we haven't seen it fully accomplished yet. So God's justice is a long time of mercy. And then maybe on that day, when Jesus comes back, then everything will be restored completely. So part of the justice we will see later. But when God acts, He's 100% just in everything He does. All His ways are right. Don't need to doubt that if I follow God's word, if I live after His word, will it lead me, steer me right? All God's ways are right. Because He cannot go against His own nature. So how could we fix this with His righteousness? How can we see that God has to, according to His nature, be righteous, be just, to give to people what is just, to give to that person? And God also has to, since His nature is mercy, He also has to not give person what they people what they deserve. You can think of an image of the scales of justice. This is a term, an image that is used in law. And it symbolizes that justice should happen. Sometimes it's also this woman, justice, holding the scales. The scales of justice and a sword in another. To have the right to punish justly and with something over her eyes so that she wouldn't use anything else for judging other than what's put in the scales. So many people think that the scales of justice in legal terms is that you put all everything that the you want to say that they did bad and everything that all the other proof that they that he didn't do it on the other side, and then you see what's heavier. Is it the proof against or after that is heavier? But it's not how these scales were used in the beginning, like what was heavier. They used scales in that in Jesus' time, and they said use the right weight. You can't use the wrong weight. And what you're trying to do with these scales, if you're selling something, it's not that one would be heavier, but that they would be the same. You put a weight in the one side, and then you measure like flour or something on the other, and it should be even. And now it's fair. Now you have bought as much oil as you said that you would buy according to the weight. And the scales of justice are intended in the same way. It works like this. Then both the ones saying proof against you or for you put everything at the same side. Both the proof against you and for you are being put in the same measuring bowl. And if you look at very old images, it might say justice in the one. So justice is put in the other one. So here is the proof against and for you, and then justice will be put in the other one. So according to the proof that have been put out, we measure up a just punishment for the one who is guilty, or he will be put free. So everything good and bad is put on the same side, and then justice is put on the other side. So you're not putting proof against proof, but you're putting all the different proofs against justice. Because many people think that God one day will see if my good actions and my bad actions, weigh them against each other and see what's better. Is it the good or the bad that is heavier? But that's not how it's going to work. God puts all your good and bad on one side. And then he puts himself on the other side. Because remember that he is justice. And then the scales will go down. You can jump however much you want, and you can try to get the scales down, and you can try to do something else good. But God, who is justice, is sitting on the other side. It will never be even with God, because he is justice. So how could it possibly become even? It's because God is on the one side, and I am on the other side. And I can't do anything about this unevenness, except for one thing. I can invite Jesus into my life, and Jesus will step on the scales together with me. So Jesus will come into your life, and he will step on your side of the scales. And then the scales are exactly the same. It's even, it's just. And he will say, now it's just. When Jesus comes into your life, Jesus takes upon himself what you would have deserved. How can God both give you and not give you what you deserve? Because God gave Jesus what you had deserved. He gives Jesus the punishment that you would have deserved for your punishment, for your sin. You would justly have deserved hell. I would justly have been punished for my sin. But God gave that to Jesus, who voluntarily takes upon himself my guilt and dies for me so that I could go free. So 2 Corinthians 5:21. So that God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So he steps on your side of the scales. He takes your place willingly. Some people say that it's God's mercy and grace that takes us to heaven. And it is true. It is his mercy and his grace. But part of what takes you to heaven is his justice. Without God's justice, you could not go to heaven. That's why God can be 100% just and 100% grace at the same time. If God would not be 100% just, he could not take you to heaven. But since he is 100% just, and he gives the punishment you would have deserved to Jesus, then both his justice can be accomplished and his mercy, his grace. We haven't talked about God's wrath. Might be its own Sunday, but I mentioned it a little bit on Easter Day. So if you want to see that side of God and what God's wrath is, then you could listen to the Easter Sunday's sermon from this year. But God's wrath, that he is angry about sin. He's upset about all the evil things that ruin for people. All of this hit Jesus on the cross instead of hitting you. So it means that he has taken your punishment and you are free. So when you earlier were condemned, punished to hell because of your sin and evil things in you, right now you are in God's courtroom and you are condemned to heaven in a way. You have received a just punishment in a way, which is heaven. Just as strongly as you were before condemned to hell, God has now made the right in his court. He has given you the right punishment, which is heaven. Does it feel bad to be condemned to heaven for eternity, to live with in God's presence, filled with his graceful, merciful, faithful love? You can come there. 1 John 1:9. This is a very famous passage. I learned this by heart in Åland when we were there a long time ago witnessing. The leader said that during these days you should memorize one Bible passage per day. We were there for 7 days, and this was the first Bible passage I got, and I'm so happy I have it in my heart whenever I want. That if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So if you confess your sins, it says here that God, it doesn't say that he's faithful and loving. It would work really well here, but no, he's just. He's faithful and just and will forgive us our sins. Because Jesus paid the price. He's faithful and just. He doesn't do this only because of his enormous love, but he does it completely justly. Because Jesus has died for you. Jesus said many times during his life that he has to go suffer. I have to be given out to the Pharisees, and they will crucify me. And Peter said against him, but what Jesus says this whole time, if I don't die, you will not live. If I don't die, it was completely necessary for God to send his son, Jesus Christ, to voluntarily die for our sins so that his justice would be done. So God is merciful 100%, but he's also just 100%. So if Jesus doesn't die, we can't either live. Let's pray together.